Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. You know, Jesus really could have spoken these words in our gospel lesson last week as the tax collectors and sinners all drew near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Could have responded, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you." He could have said to them, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take out the log that is in your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." But you remember what we heard last Sunday? He didn't. Instead, the Pharisees and scribes who grumbled, he spoke of the Father's mercy. He told the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Shepherd, the woman seeking, finding, and rejoicing with friends and neighbors, and how there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Joy before the angels of God. By this we learn that one must receive God the Father's mercy before one can show mercy unto others. The Pharisees, as we know from last week's text and from countless other gospel lessons, Pharisees rejected the mercy of God for themselves. They denied the Father's mercy, and therefore they could not be merciful to others. They were, like Jesus says today, the blind leading the blind, blind to God's mercy, blind to God's love, blind to God's forgiveness. They were also then blind to the needs of others. Blind leading the blind, they all fell into a pit of bitterness and lovelessness. How evident is all of this in our world today? Look around, go online, watch the TV. Find little to no mercy, little to no love, little to no forgiveness. Instead, there's vindictiveness, punishment, cancellations, sins real and perceived, for offenses that are concrete or even just assumed. But Jesus warns, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. There will be no mercy for the one who shows no mercy to others. No love for the one who shows no love to others. No forgiveness for the one who refuses to forgive. But rather only judgment and condemnation for the one who judges and condemns. This is a warning to the world. But all the more a warning to you. For if you confess Jesus to be your Lord and your Master, and he forgave and gave, if he came not to condemn the world, but in order that the world should be saved through him, what do you think you should do? A disciple is not above his teacher. If you confess Jesus to be your Lord, then you too must forgive and show mercy. And yes, the old Adam is there with all of his excuses, all of his reasons as to why we can't or shouldn't forgive and give and refrain from judgment and condemnation. My neighbor doesn't deserve it. Barely even sorry for what he did. Have you deserved the grace of God? Have you deserved Christ's blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins? But my neighbor continues to sin against me. Even when I forgive him, he just goes back to doing the same thing he did before. How many times have you sinned against God? How often does God freely forgive you through his word, which you hear every day, through the sacrament, which you receive every week? I'm tired of being patient toward my neighbor. I'm tired of putting up with him. What if God were to tire of his mercy toward you? What if God were to say, enough of this sinner? God doesn't tire of his mercy. God's forgiveness toward you is boundless and inexhaustible. It is a free gift, completely undeserved. The old Adam's excuses hold no water. Therefore, repent. Repent and receive the mercy of God. And then and only then can you show mercy to others. Well, what is this mercy of God of which we speak so often in the church? What is mercy? God's undeserved kindness toward us poor, miserable sinners. It is his love for us all, before all, above all, beyond what we deserve, far beyond what we deserve. It is pure, without deceit or hypocrisy. Real. God's mercy is found not only in words, but in deed and in truth. Free, given without expectation of reward. This is the mercy of God toward you. It is this mercy that God willed from the beginning of creation to love us, and for us in turn to love him in every way, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. You recall Jesus says these are the two great commandments. But of course, as we know, sin corrupted this mercy, this fellowship of love, with the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden. Man was separated from God, from the highest good, from the purest love, and therefore did not live in love toward each other. Remember how Adam and Eve accused each other of sin rather than humbly confessing their sins unto God. We follow in their footsteps. We come from their line, and therefore this kind of hatred and bitterness and enmity taken root in our human nature, in our very heart, because of original sin. But again, out of his boundless love for you, for me, for all, God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came in purest mercy and love for everyone, receiving sinners and eating with them, welcoming them as they came to hear him preach not only the law which condemns their sin, the gospel, the good news of free and full forgiveness for his sake. The fullness of time, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He shed his blood for you to pay for your sins and to reconcile you to God your Father. Why did he do this? Only because of his boundless love for his Father and for you. So the scriptures testify that God so loved the world that he gave his Son for us. And greater love has no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus says, you are my friends. Through faith in Christ, holding fast to him, his blessed atonement for our transgressions, through faith in him, then comes pure and true divine love for the neighbor. In him we receive mercy, we see mercy. In him we love because he first loved us. And it's from this mercy of God, granted to us by grace alone, that all of our love and mercy for others may flow. Consider Joseph in our Old Testament lesson today. You remember everything that happened to poor Joseph. Despised by his brothers, treated wickedly by them, sold into slavery down in the land of Egypt, where he was falsely accused by his master's wife, cast into prison, and there forgotten by the man he helped. And all the while he was remembered by God, remembered in God's mercy. time God showed him that mercy, raising him up, elevating him to a place and position of honor and power so that many people could be saved. This mercy Joseph extended to his brothers. They came pleading for forgiveness for all their transgressions against him. Joseph says, "Am I in the place of God?" He refused to take God's right of judgment away from him, and yet, in forgiving his brothers, he was doing exactly what God does. This mercy is the fruit of faith. Faith looks to God's mercy. Faith takes hold of God's mercy. It holds fast to God's mercy. And when we hold fast to God's mercy for us in faith, then how can we but be moved to mercy? For God's mercy is a boundless, overflowing fountain which overflows from our hearts into the lives of other people. From this fountain we draw mercy to show to others. Indeed, without God's mercy, we cannot show mercy. We cannot do good works. Jesus says this mercy is the mercy we are to show to others. Unless we think about it in kind of the abstract, kind of in a general sense, he tells us concretely how we may show God's mercy to other people. By not judging them, by not condemning them, Jesus says. This is a reference to slanderous, malicious judgment against our neighbor, explaining everything in the worst possible light, violating the eighth commandment especially. Jesus says, do not do this. After all, in the end, we are all fellow creatures of God. We all confess ourselves to be poor, miserable sinners. Instead, as the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Again, Jesus says, do not judge, do not condemn. But rather, if you are spiritual, that is, if you have been born of water and the Spirit, if you live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, then restore those who have transgressed in the spirit of gentleness. Jesus also says we are to forgive, not to cling to past sins, not to hold on to them with anger or bitterness, but rather to forgive. After all, this is exactly what Jesus taught us all to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we learn in the parable of the unmerciful servant, we forgive because God has forgiven us that great unpayable debt of our sin. A debt far greater than any debt our neighbor could owe us. And Jesus says that we are also to give. Judge not, condemn not, forgive, and give. This is part of showing God's mercy. He who gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people, moves us to give from what we have first received. Everything we have comes from God, so everything we give has been given to us in the first place. And yet, even with that, the scriptures promise that the one who gives will receive in abundance. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, says the scriptures. For God loves a cheerful giver. Jesus himself says, as quoted by Paul in the book of Acts, Jesus himself says that it is more blessed to give than to receive. That we show mercy to other people is so important that God says he desires it more than sacrifice. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength is the great and first commandment, but Jesus says the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And therefore, whoever loves God must love his brother. Jesus will point to this love, this mercy, as evidence, as fruit of faith on the last day. Saying to those who are on his right, whatever you did for the least of these, my brethren, you did unto me. Regarding our mercy, not because of its perfection, not because of its completeness, not because of its thoroughness, but rather because it comes from faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, who who has been perfectly merciful toward us. Our mercy is weak and faltering. It often falls short, and therefore we must always return back to the mercy of Christ. We must always cling to him who died for us in faith. Then and only then can we show mercy to others. Then and only then can we be merciful, even as our Father is merciful. Again, if you have not received your Father's mercy, he is not your Father at all, then there is no way that you can begin to show mercy to others. But through faith, God is your true and dear Father. You are his true and dear child. By grace alone, he has shown you his mercy in Jesus Christ, your Lord, who loved you and gave himself for you. Live in the mercy of God, and that mercy will inevitably overflow to those around you. And the mercy of God in Jesus Christ will truly preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.